Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Dean Mays. Dean is the author of romance novel The Hambledown Dream and is a paediatric nurse based in Adelaide, Australia. It's very exciting that tonight he's going to share some information about romance writing and also his experience of launching his first book. So welcome, Dean.
Thank you very much, Joanna.
Great to have you here. So maybe you can start off by telling us a bit more about you and about your book.
Yeah, sure. Firstly, thank you very much for having me on your show. It's a real privilege to be talking to you tonight. My name's Dean, obviously. I'm on the bad side of 35, I guess you could say. I'm 36 years old. I'm, as you say, a paediatric nurse here in Adelaide, working mainly in intensive care and emergency. And I live here in Adelaide with my partner Emily, and we have two children, a 3.5-year-old Xavier and a 5-month-old daughter named Lucy. I've written a novel. The Hambledown Dream is, it sort of represents a 7-year journey for me to move from a writing hopeful, if you will, to a published author. And I think it's best described as a paranormal love story about a troubled young man who is incredibly gifted. He plays classical guitar. He's trying to reshape his life after a near fatal drug overdose, and in doing so, he's suddenly plagued by the dreams and the memories of another life. It's a life that he's never known or experienced. And with that, he's also experiencing the memories of the love of a woman he's never met. But these memories are, as strong and vivid as if they were his own memories. And so he begins a journey of sorts as to try and work out, what's going on, and who this woman may be and who this life, where this life is. And, we follow, his journey.
Wow, that sounds really interesting. So you started writing this book 7 years ago, did you?
No, when I say 7 years ago, I guess the idea for the novel came to me about 7 years ago, but at the time I was actually trying to write another, quite a different novel, a political thriller that was sort of set a few years into the future, and It was an ambitious project that I think got the better of me, and eventually that project fell apart. But all the while, I had this basic idea in my mind for this novel that was just basically a character study, and it sort of stuck there, and it kept nagging me to do something with, but I could never really get motivated to do it. And it wasn't until early last year that I finally said, right, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to have a go at this. So that's kind of where it came from, I guess you could say.
Because it's interesting, you used the word paranormal there, and obviously, everyone always asks me about, should I write what's trendy at the moment? And clearly paranormal is trendy at the moment. So did you write to a trend that was coming, or was that just something you were interested in?
When I started writing this, I had no preconceived ideas about what genre was sort of the moment. It's funny, this book actually started out as a hobby. I started a blog early last year, and I thought, well, I'm going to start writing this story, but I'm only going to publish it to my blog, and I'm just going to make it freely available to people to read, because I never envisaged that this story would be anything more than just a labour of love. I wasn't sort of thinking along the lines of trying to get into a niche or anything like that. The story, as I say, it's an old idea that I've been wrestling with for a number of years. So when I started writing it, I had no idea where it was going to lead. So
No, that's fantastic, and I think that's the best way. I don't think writing to a genre is very fulfilling to anybody.
No. I will say that this is a fairly personal story. There's a lot of life influences of my own in it, that, you know, not explicit life experiences, but I've tailored the story based on, you know, bits and pieces from my own life. So it is very personal journey, I think you could say.
No, that's brilliant. Well, a few months ago now, I think it was, you wrote a guest post for my blog about being a man in the romance market. So I thought we'd revisit that today because, you know, having seen pictures of you, haven't met you, you're not, you know, you've got a beard and you're quite a, you know, you're a blokey bloke. you're an Australian bloke. So what are you doing writing a romance?
I've been asked that question a number of times, Joanna. It's really, it's an interesting one. You know, I never really set out to write a romance novel. However, the basic elements of the story, I guess, always included this kind of this love story at its core. That it developed into a romance novel as such was purely an unconscious thing. I guess when I sort of started to take this seriously and move it in a direction towards actually hoping to get it published, I kept harking back to that movie that was made a few years ago that starred Hugh Jackman, the paperback hero. And he was this, you know, this big burly truck driver in outback Australia who, you know, drives a big road train and is very blokey. And he himself happens to be writing a romance novel. And that kind of thing appealed to me, but it only really came to mind a bit later on. But what's a man doing writing a romance novel? Yeah, I don't know. The response from book lovers and readers and, I guess, fans, you could say, has been incredibly positive. And, you know, that's sort of evidenced by the reviews that I've been getting for the book up on the Amazon page, as well as my author page over at Facebook. And I've got a little bit of a following happening over at the Goodreads website as well. And yeah, you know, everyone's been incredibly encouraging and positive, and you know, even some of my good mates, you know, I come from a rural country town, so you know, to journey back there and sort of have a beer with the fellas, you know, you get that gentle ribbing about being a romance author, but no one's actually been critical of it at all. So you know, maybe it's our time, maybe it's the bloke's time to be able to write a convincing love story and get away with it.
Well, no, I think it's brilliant. And, you know, a lot of us try and think about standing out in a crowded market, and you just are purely standing out by who you are, which is, you know, good on you. that's brilliant.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, just some, you know, one of the things we like to do on the podcast is talk about the different genres. So if other people are interested in writing romance, so, you know, how do people know if they are writing romance? What are the key aspects of a great romance novel?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would say that that a solid and believable relationship or potential for a relationship is at its core, and in order to achieve that, you have to have solid and believable characters. When I began taking my story seriously, I became very conscious of making the story, making the characters very real and believable. And I think that with having that basis, allowed me to sort of explore, you know, the trials and tribulations of love. But you have to remember also that because there's a paranormal element to my particular story, you've got to try and weigh that up. You've got to balance it between having a real and atmospheric, I guess, setting and characters, as well as being able to introduce this paranormal element convincingly. So solid characters and solid relationships, I think, are the key elements. And then you can go forward from there. So, yeah.
And do the, I must say, romance is not really my genre, but do the characters always have to end up together at the end, or is that not a rule?
No. I think that there's a certain enhanced reality, I guess you could say. It's a bit of a wordy term, but I know in the Hampled Down Dream there's actually a small subplot of an unrequited love or affection that I explore, which sort of terminates in, you know, it doesn't really go anywhere because it's not really the destiny of the two characters that I'm sort of focusing on at that point. However, you know, their journey together, it's only a small part of the novel, but their journey together, they feed off one another, and it drives the story forward. So at the same time that their little storyline's going along, they're contributing to the larger storyline as well. So I hope that sort of makes sense.
No, that's right. And one of the things you mentioned on your blog is that you've actually got some quite explicit sex scenes in the book.
There's one sex scene in the novel that does really, how can we put it?
You don't have to go into details.
No, I'm not going to. It's quite risky. It's a fairly confronting sex scene, and initially, I always envisioned that there would be this scene in the book, and there was a very conscious reason for me doing so, because at the beginning of the book, the tone of the book is actually quite dark, and the characters that we meet, the central characters that we meet at the beginning of the book, I wanted the readers to not like them at all. I wanted the reader to be really uncomfortable with these characters, and the sex scene that I put in the book was kind of put there to try and illustrate our dislike for these two people. But at the same time, the sex scene is intertwined with the memories of a love scene, of a very different love scene. So while you've got this really angry and angsty sort of sexual encounter between two people taking place, there's the memory of a very lyrical and very lovely love scene taking place simultaneously, and it puts the main character off. He's very confused about what's going on. He doesn't know what's happening. So the scene itself had a very distinct reason for being there.
And it's another question about genre. Do romance books always have to have sex in them?
I don't think so. I think that we can certainly hint at sex and or love, not necessarily as explicitly as I have done. But I think if the story's got an emotional heart to it, then I think that's probably more important. It depends on what you're trying to achieve with your story, with your love story.
And I've asked this of thriller and horror writers, you know, about when does violence go from being thriller violence to horror violence. So I'll ask you the opposite question. When does romance turn into erotica? And how do you make sure you don't cross over the boundary?
To be honest, I have no idea. you know, this a lot of what takes place in this novel is a real first for me. So, and when I started writing the scene, it was actually quite a lot more explicit than what the final scene actually is in the book. And I guess the best thing to say is that I actually set my own compass up with that. I drew a line in the sand as to where I felt comfortable with the scene, and you know, a couple of points in the construction of that scene, I actually crossed over that line quite a bit because I wanted to be uncomfortable with the scene. I wanted to portray that because that's what I wanted to achieve for the early part of the book. But I guess you construct a scene, you put it down, you look at it again, and see how it plays out as you read it, you know, offer it up to other people to have a look at it and get their opinion, and you try and find a, you know, a happy medium. I tried to get as much feedback on those scenes and other scenes in the book to try and work out where, you know, where it was all headed. So,
I think that's really good advice, and you know, a lot of people can learn from that in any genre, because clearly people judge you by what you write, and they think that, you know, well, obviously it's come from your head. Whether it's come from your experience is another question, but you know, it's kind of a, you know, people do judge you, so you're right to consider it, you know, construct it, you know, from basic and then get some feedback. I think that's a really good learning.
Yeah, that's right. And it's really funny too, because during the official launch that I had back in Victoria last week, both my grandmothers bought copies of the book. and I did warn them that this scene sort of was there in the book. And I actually talked about that on my blog in a couple of posts back. And one of my grandmothers, she just said to me, you know, I've been around the block, Dean, don't you worry.
Oh, bless her, that's lovely. Yeah, yeah. As you're probably more worried about your daughter reading these in a few years' time, a good few years' time.
She'll be 45 by the time she's allowed to read this book.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, look, I'm really interested in how you've been promoting the book, because you launched quite recently, didn't you? Can you maybe talk about how you launched the book?
Yeah, sure. I think the launch itself, the book itself started life as an electronic book. And, you know, through my publisher, I Write Publishing, we initially took the book to an ebook format. So, you know, it's available, you know, and it still is. It's available for Kindle. It's available for iPhone. A number of devices out there. And so, by extension, the electronic version of the book warranted, I guess, an electronic marketing campaign to promote it. So my publisher, Michelle Halkett, and I sat down, figuratively speaking, because she's in Canada and I'm in Australia. We sat down and we talked about what were the best tools to use in order to promote the book in that first incarnation. And of course, you know, there was Facebook. That was always central, I think, to what I was trying to achieve. Obviously, Facebook is a fairly ubiquitous tool. A lot of people use it. And therefore, I was able to get the word out to quite a large cross-section of people. And there's also similar sorts of social networking tools. You've got the Goodreads website, which is geared specifically towards book lovers. So you can, you know, set yourself up with a profile there, and you can reach a large cross section of the community and promote your book that way. And then, of course, I had the blog. I also had some experience in internet media. I had a little bit to do with a couple of American-based comedy talk radio shows. So I actually had an online presence prior to this book being written. And, you know, I don't mind saying that I actually sort of used that profile to sort of promote myself, and that's been really handy. In the time since the book went live in January as an electronic version, I've conducted a number of on-air interviews with a number of shows, both here in Australia and overseas, and that's been really invaluable. So certainly there's the classic sort of online tools of Facebook, you know, the blog, Goodreads, and then, you know, casting the net wider to take in other writing blogs, other writing forums, message boards, you know, all sorts of things. I've even, you know, posted, a regular stream of updates on a message board that caters to Star Wars fans, believe it or not, because, I've been involved in a show in America that sort of caters specifically to Star Wars fans, and that's been really good, believe it or not. So.
I think that's brilliant. A really good tip for people there, because like you said, you already had a platform in some way, even though that didn't seem to naturally fit your books genre.
No, I
didn't. But I guess, like you said, you already had contacts, therefore you could launch. Whereas I remember when I first tried to launch my first book, I literally had nothing on anywhere and therefore found it very hard and sold nothing. So hence why I've also put the effort in. But I'm interested in, you've also been doing some physical stuff, haven't you, in Australia? You've done some bookstore stuff and some TV or radio. Can you compare the physical sort of promotion to the internet promotion? What is more effective?
Well, I have to say the internet promotion has been more effective. The physical promotion has been a lot harder. And the things that I have done have come about through, I guess, being a little bit persistent, I guess you could say. The physical stuff's actually been quite a lot harder, and I've actually had some pretty ordinary experiences in trying to promote the book. I've approached, the national daily newspapers, the Australian nationally, and here in Adelaide we've got the Adelaide Advertiser. And, I'll be honest, they weren't interested at all. I pursued them both for weeks, constantly ringing them, finding out names, finding out the most appropriate people, sending them copies of the book. It eventually became, a bit of a lost cause. The bookshop that I launched in Victoria just late last week, that came about because the bookshop happens to be in the same arcade that my father's barbershop happens to be in. And he actually approached them on my behalf, and they were a fairly new business. They opened up just before Christmas. So they were keen to explore doing something with me, because they felt that it would be mutually beneficial for them, and that's turned out to be really successful for both of us. So, so that was a stroke of good luck. I've got an event here in Adelaide in a couple of weeks at a bookshop called Mostly Books at the Mitcham Shopping Centre at Torrens Park, and I approached them completely off the cuff. I just happened to be in that shopping centre one day, and I came across their bookshop almost by accident, and I dropped by and I had a look in there, and I got talking to the lady behind the counter, and that kind of snowballed from there. So I'll actually be taking a supply of books into them tomorrow, being Friday, and I'll be putting them up on the shelves for me, and then we'll be having this event in a couple of weeks' time. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that's been really great. But yeah, look, it hasn't all been good. There's been a couple of times where I've been treated with hostility, and that's kind of left me feeling a bit shattered, I guess you could say. But yeah, there's a lot of ambivalence around. There's a lot of people just sort of, you have to really push hard if you sort of want to try and get their attention, and that's not always, that's not always enough either. So, but going back to the beginning of the question, the internet's probably been far more fruitful for me than physical cold calling .
Marketing. Yeah, I think that's really interesting because, I read your post about the cold calling, and I would never do that. And that's part of the reason I've built up, a presence on my blog and on Twitter and things, because I hate that, push approach. Whereas if you build up a presence, people actually come to you. And brilliantly, you approached me and said, can I do a post? And I said, yeah, great, And I think from my perspective, it's a kind of pull marketing approach which works better, as you have done with your other sites where you already has had a presence. So I would feel that would be bad. But one question, many people say to me, how much time do you spend online in order to get the effects that you get? And from what you were saying there, you said you spent a lot of time and effort and emotional feeling in person and trying to get stuff. How would you, compare the amount of time spent on both to the effect, basically?
Well, the time spent online, it probably seems like a lot, but it probably doesn't. It probably isn't more. I'm getting tongue tied here. It's probably not as time consuming as you probably think. If you have an idea of what you want to do, then it's very easy to just to get in there and do it. You know, I'm promoting a book, so how do I want to promote that? Well, I use the resources available to me, like Facebook, like Twitter, like the blogs. You know, if I've got some sort of news to share with people about the book or where I'm at with the book, then, you know, I instantly go through all the tools in my repertoire and post all, you know, everywhere that I can in order to reach that that following. And it seems like a lot of time spent, but it's not. And, you know, I've been doing that while, you know, sitting on the phone waiting. And, you know, I've covered all my bases online, you know, in about 5 minutes while still waiting on the phone, you know, 30 or 40 minutes later. So.
No, that's brilliant. Yeah, good idea.
Okay, and it probably helps that, it probably helps that, I find it very hard to sit still. My mind is constantly working. So, it's funny, you know, the only time when my mind's not working is when I'm asleep. I'm thinking all the time. So.
Okay. So, coming to the end now. So has publishing your first book been everything you've expected, or, you know, what are the main things you've learnt or that have been surprising?
The whole lot has been one big surprise. My journey, basically started out with a chance tweet from, the woman that has now become my publisher, Michelle Helkett. When I was, writing to my blog, you know, I was writing this story, and I wasn't, you know, I was basically writing it on the fly, putting it up there. It wasn't really being edited as such, but, you know, I developed the following, and, you know, at the same time I was using Twitter and Facebook to promote it. You know, I'd say, right, there's a new post up, go and have a look. And it just so happened that Michelle, my publisher, chanced upon my blog and read it, and basically tweeted me and said, look, have you ever considered about, you know, publishing this? And at that point I hadn't. And so, you know, when I checked Michelle out, and I checked out I Read, I Write, and got really excited about it all, that was when it all sort of started to fall into place, you know. And the journey from that point on, it's just been one big surprise after another, you know. It's I probably going to frustrate a lot of people here, because I've broken every rule that I think that a writer could break in the process of getting to publication. You know, Michelle's obviously has taken a chance on a first time writer like myself. You know, she's obviously seen something, you know, very good in the story that I've written. And not only has she, you know, gone to an electronic version with this, you know, the Hambledown Dream's now in print, you know, and that's something that, you know, is just a dream come true for me. So, so nothing that what I've achieved, over the past year, has been what I would regard as conventional, you know, and everything has surprised me about this journey, so.
Oh, that's wonderful. And are you starting the next one already?
At the moment, I'm still in the throes of marketing this book. I haven't turned my thoughts towards the second book yet. However, I do have two ideas for a follow-up novel that I'm just starting to toy with ideas about. So, I don't know when it will be that I'll sit down to really start taking that seriously, but it will be sometime this year, I'd imagine.
That's wonderful. And do you know, it's really funny, because I, you know, I started this podcast last year, and I'm writing my first novel, and I'm connecting with people like you. And what I find really brilliant about this is that I can see that you and me and all the people I interview on my blog, you know, give us 10 years, you know, whatever, give us however many years, we're all going to be much bigger in the industry.
For sure.
That's what I like about it. You know, it's connecting with people at the beginning of their journey. And, you know, we've all got a long way to go. And that's the great thing about writing. It can be the whole of the rest of your life, really, can't it?
Yeah, well, that's right. And, I mean, look, I must say that the community of people that I've connected with in the past, you know, even probably 4 months, I guess, since this book really went into high gear, the community has been absolutely wonderful. You know, just a group of people who are all just trying to achieve the same thing, and they all are encouraging, and they're all so gracious, and you know, I've made some really good friendships out of this, and that's something that I think is really valuable in this whole journey. So, and I don't think that's something that I would have achieved had I gone the traditional route of publishing. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Okay, so finishing up now, so where can people find you and your book?
Well, I guess the central point for me would be my my blog, which has now become my official website, and it's basically called deanfromaustralia.com with all the W's at the beginning. If you go there, you'll be able to look back through my archive and basically follow my journey from the beginning of this endeavour. You'll be able to read the very first chapters of the novel as it appeared in its unpublished form. You'll be able to follow a series that I've done recently that explore the inspirations for the characters that feature in my novel. And there's also just a bit of, you know, random thoughts of my own there. You can find links to my publisher's website, which is I Read, I Write Publishing. You'll find links to the Amazon, page for the book. You'll also find links to my Facebook author page. If you go there, you know, you get to sort of follow, events that I sort of announce and, you know, my interactions with readers. And I've started this readers gallery, which I'm really proud of. You know, people that are buying the book are all around the world. I'm encouraging them to take photos of themselves holding my book, sending them to me, and I'll put them up there in the gallery. And at the same time, I'll send them a signed bookmark, so that they've got a little keepsake to go with the book.
Oh, that's a great marketing idea. And I noticed Paulo Coelho does that as well. You know, who wrote The Alchemist? He has those all over his Twitter page.
Sure.
That's an excellent idea.
Well, it's a really sweet thing because, you know, like for people in Australia, particularly, you know, friends and colleagues and people that I know here in Adelaide, you know, it's very easy for me to sign a copy of my book. But for, you know, for somebody in America or England, which, you know, people have purchased the book in those two countries, you know, it's just a little thank you, I guess you could say, from me just for, you know, taking a punt on me, you know. So I like to sign a little bookmark and just pop it in the post, you know. I basically do that myself. I don't charge them anything for that. So,
that's nice.
Yeah, so, you know, I hope that, you know, that sort of speaks a little bit for, you know, how much I value my my readership.
So. That's brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Dean. That was brilliant.
Joanna, it's been lovely talking to you. And
thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!